Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers, to all you guys, and to all the mothers also. Now, what have you done? Let me put it this way. What nice things have you done for your father today or yesterday?
Lobster.
Okay, what else? Huh? I'm sorry, I can't hear. Oh, okay, all right. What else? Now, have you wished your father a happy Father's Day today? Not yet? Well, you better hurry up, okay? Because, you know, I'm a father, right? I have two kids. And when Father Day comes, the first thing I'm looking for is a happy Father's Day from my wife and my kids. So hurry up when you go home, okay? The passages that we just read, the scriptures that we just read, Ephesians, right? Ephesians 6, first verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. Obey and honor. Colossians verse 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. Three words I'd like to emphasize: obey, honor, and please. They're all good qualities, good traits to lay hold to. It might not be so popular these days, these words, obey, honor, and please. It may not be so popular these days, but I think that these are traits that every one of us should have. Because when we obey, we please the one who instructs, who gives the command. When you obey your parents, you please your parents, right? When you honor, you bring honor to them, and you please them. So whether you obey or you honor, you're pleasing your parents. So pleasing is a more encompassing quality to it. And so that's why today I want to talk about pleasing our Father. Our Father in heaven and our Father here on earth. I like Father's Day very much, and Mother's Day. Just like Thanksgiving, Christmas, they're my favorite holidays. Nothing else. Doesn't mean that they have any thing, but to me they are meaningful. Meaningful days. Like today, right? We are supposed to be nice to our parents. Just for one day. Right? Please, guys, be nice to your parents. You know, when they ask you a question, answer them nicely. Alright? Don't put them up. Don't think they're nagging. Alright? Don't think that they're in your way. But try to be nice. And parents, you know, if they're nice to you, you gotta be nice in return, right? So when you ask a question, ask nicely. You know, don't talk down to your kids. So today, I'm not just talking to kids per se, to children per se. I'm not talking to fathers per se. I'm not talking to wives per se. I'm talking to everybody. Whether you are below 18 or above 18, whether you are married or not married, whether you are a father or not a father, whether you are a mother or not a mother, I'm talking to you all. Because a relationship, it's best when both sides are happy. A relationship is not good when you are happy and your heavenly father is not happy. A relationship is not good when you as a father on earth is happy and your kids are miserable. Or when you are very happy and your wife is not happy. A relationship is only good, it's at its best, when both sides are happy, because it's a two-way street. It's not a one-way street. It's not a dead end. So to believers, Paul prayed. Paul prayed. He said, I pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way. You live a life worthy of the Lord, and the goal is to please Him in every way, in everything. So we can easily put it in the context of our lives on earth, right? We could easily be saying, you may live a life worthy of your parents and please them in every way. Because our relationship with our Heavenly Father is parallel to our relationship with our parents on earth. But then on the flip side, right? You know, we demand the kids, we demand the children to honor, to obey. But on the other hand, Ephesians 6, verse 4, you know, I think the children will like this verse. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Now, what does exasperate mean? For you guys who are doing SAT. Huh? Juniors, seniors in high school. What does exasperate mean? What? No? College students. Yeah? Very good. Annoyed. Exasperate means annoyed, right? Infuriate. I looked in the dictionary. Infuriate. Annoyed. So do not exasperate means like keep them happy. I'm not going to say please them because that has a different connotation. Do not make them angry, right? Keep them happy. So simpler words. Children, please your father. Fathers, keep your children happy. Yes, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's number one. But do so in a way that you can keep them happy. Do not be too harsh. Do not be too harsh. Do not antagonize them. Do not discourage them. Discipline is necessary. Discipline is necessary. When my kids are growing up, they stood in the corner plenty of times. I don't usually hit them. I may have hit them once or twice. But they know when they're standing in the corner, they're in trouble. Discipline is necessary. But don't antagonize them. Don't exasperate them. You know, there's a difference, you know, between Asian parents and the American culture. You know, in the church in Chinatown, right? In the church in Chinatown, we ran a gamut. We have triplets, they were just born. We have 2-3-year-old toddlers. We have 5, 6, 7, 10-year-old boys. And if you listen, you know, you sit, you just observe, right? I like to just observe the parents, the interaction with the boys and the girls. You sit, you hear, no, 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 don't do that, you can't, no. You hear from probably 5, 6 parents, the only thing you hear out of their mouth is no. Now that's pretty suffocating for the kids, right? But if you go to an American household, okay, the boys were running around, the parents say, please don't do that. You know, Jeremy, please, stop. You see the difference? Okay, I warn parents, if you keep saying no to your kids, you'll eat your own consequence. Because my wife Lucy, right, Auntie Lucy, she has 3 other sisters, they're 4 sisters, and my father-in-law and mother-in-law are getting up in the ages, right? So, you know, they are kind of relying on the kids now. So a lot of them, they ask questions, you know, oh, I'd like to do this. And the girl says, no, you can't, to the parents, okay? My mother-in-law wants to get a car because she's in San Francisco, trying to, like, staying in San Francisco, so she needs to get out. So she said, oh, maybe I should get a car. No, you can't do that. So if you keep telling your kids that you can't do anything, well, in 30 years, your sons and daughters are going to tell you, no, you can't do anything. And that's not a good feeling, right? So I like to talk to both, everybody. And the best way to learn, the best way to learn about relationship is from the Bible. To learn about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So when I read Colossians chapter 1, I noticed something very revealing in these few verses. And I like to focus on verse 10, because it will help us understand some underpinning factors that can help us develop a good, trusting, loving relationship with our children, a good, trusting, loving relationship with our parents. Now, sometimes I like the Chinese version, sometimes I like the English version. But in this case, I love the English version. Because if you pay attention, verse 10, we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way. Okay? Alright? When we live a life worthy of the Lord, then we please Him in every way. Fine. We know that. What follows the word way? A colon. For those who know grammar, right? You know, SAT. When you see a colon, the thing that follows explains the thing before. In Chinese, when I read in Chinese, I would have never noticed that colon. But when I read in English, I noticed that colon. Explanation. How are we going to live a life worthy of the Lord? Bearing fruit in every good work. Growing in the knowledge of God. Colon, explaining. How are you going to be able to please your Heavenly Father? By bearing fruit, by growing in the knowledge of Him. Very straightforward. Growing in the knowledge of God. Now, how can we grow in the knowledge of somebody? By spending time, right? By trying to get to know the person. Let me paint you a picture. 7 o'clock, we get up. The school bus is going to be around. 7:30. 7:30? Class starts. Good class. We get off at 2:30, I think, for high school. We have sport activities, right? We have various other things. We may have violin, we may have orchestra, whatever it is. And then we get home. Probably 4. We eat a few snacks, right? We watch, what is your favorite TV show at 4:30?
Arthur.
Yeah. That's a little bit too young for me. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm thinking... Oh, I'm sorry. But then, after you snack, right, your mom and, you know, get you some good stuff, or maybe your mom's home, I don't know. But then you go, then you, after you watch the half an hour show, you run into a room, get on your computer, check Facebook, check your email. No? You IM. Okay, no? Okay. Anyway. So you do all that, right? You do all that. You go to YouTube, see a few things, and then you say, okay, I'll do a little bit work. Then comes dinner time. Your mother's like yelling, come down for dinner. So you go down. You have dinner. When you have dinner, you watch the TV. Right? After you finish dinner, you go back to your room. You get a computer. Now you're going to talk to your friends. I am on the phone texting your friends. You're having a good time. You say, oh, I got to do some work. So you do some work. And then a little while later, you say, okay, I got to go to the kitchen, open the fridge to get some snack. And you go back to your room and you go to sleep. Right? Is that kind of our life? For parents who work, right? I mean, the commuting is killing me. By the time you get home, 6:30, 7, you gotta eat. Okay? I'm too tired to talk. Your wife, or whether husband, wife, work, I don't know, the spouse wanna talk to you, I'm too tired. Can we talk later? Then you eat, then you read the newspaper, you watch the TV news program, and then you say, well, where's my son? Where's my daughter? You walk in the door, you say, hey, how you doing? How's school today? Any tests tomorrow? Did you finish your homework? How'd you do on that math test the other day? Wow, 85? That's not good enough. I understand you have a lot of work, but next time, study harder so that you can do a little bit better. I know you can do it. Is that typical? I don't know. Maybe it's me. See, I'm talking about myself. When I talk, actually, I'm telling you about myself. I'm telling you about my family. You know, we live in the same roof. We live under the same roof. But we may as well be living miles apart. You know, my son, I have a very good relationship with John. Now he's 18, he's getting out of college. Since the beginning of May, I haven't seen him weekend evenings, I haven't seen any evening. He's gone, because he drives. He's gone to hang out with his friends. You know, there's not really that much communication. Now, you know how I grew up in Hong Kong? My mother loves me. My mother loved me, I should say. I was the youngest, and they always kid that, you know Uncle Walter, right? Don't tell Uncle Walter. You know Uncle Walter, right? Yeah, don't tell him, all right? Well, I know you tell him. Anyways, it's all right. He has gone to study in Taiwan, so I was, like, left alone. And my elder brother, Richard, he became a Christian. So all he did was, he's gone to fellowship, to his fellowship with friends. So my mom was like terrified that I would become a Christian, because she was thinking that she lost her son already, she never seen my brother Richard, and if I became a Christian, then she lost all her sons. So anyway, I would just spend our time at home. She cooks, I'll be doing my homework next to her, I sit on a little stool. You know, in Hong Kong, there's no gas. I mean, there's charcoal. You wouldn't believe this is only, you know, 50 years ago. Little charcoal, there's no gas, all right? And I'll watch her cook, I'll ask questions. Why don't you put so much salt? Why don't you put, you know, you just communicate, right? When she goes shopping, I go with her to do shopping, and I learn to bargain, you know, with the vendors. From her. In Hong Kong, you got to bargain everything, right? Okay? And when she has friends over, you know, all the ladies that, you know, they got nothing to do. Well, in Hong Kong, you got to understand, I mean, they had, right? The husbands work and the ladies just, you know, take care of the family, which is very important, okay? But they got nothing to do, so, you know, the kids are away. So they talk, and, you know, I'll just get the tea and I'll bring it to them. I'll get the tea and I'll bring them, refill the tea. That's all. My mother loved me. That's the only way you can build a relationship is to get to know the person. How much do you know about your father? How much do you know about your Heavenly Father? Do we know that He's a loving God? And that's it? Don't we know that He's a Father who disciplines His children? Don't you know that our Father in Heaven can get angry? That He's a just and jealous God? Don't you know that on the other hand, He's a forgiving, merciful God. His many attributes. How much do you know about your Father? Happy Father's Day. Is that all there is for today? Do you really know your Father? Have you tried to know your Father? Do you know the worries that He has regarding finances or his job situation? Do you know that he really, really cares about you? See, a lot of times we think we know. A lot of times we say we appreciate. But we don't know. We don't know. Now my son, you know John, I told you he plays lacrosse, and he's pretty good, okay? And he's going to go and play in college. It's a Division III at RPI. He's going to play lacrosse. Since his freshman year, because we go to a school called Milburn, you probably have never heard of Milburn, and in sports, Milburn is the bottom of the barrel. Okay. Now I went to award, you know, the seniors award ceremony, Milburn High School. I kind of counted, right? It's like 70 academic awards. 70. Okay. In case you don't know Milburn High School, Milburn High School has the highest SAT average of all the public schools in New Jersey. The average is 1850 for SAT. So it has 70 academic awards, 15 music awards, 3 athletic awards. Now, so you know what kind of school Milburn is. Okay? So I know way back when that he really wanted to, he loves lacrosse, and he wanted to play lacrosse in college. So since freshman year, I've been taping all his games. Now, for him, when I tape his games, if he wins a game, if he won a game, he come home, he watch. Oh, that's a great save I made. He's a goalie. If he lost the game, he wouldn't watch. Okay? Freshman, sophomore, junior year. Now, why did I tape it? I didn't tape it for him to watch the game. I tape it because I know any college coach is not going to look from anybody good from Milburn. You know, they're going to look for someone good from a good school. So for me, I have to make a DVD of all his plays to send to colleges to get them interested in him. So I collected all the sophomore and junior tapes, and I looked at all of them and picked out like 30 seconds, 45 seconds, a minute's worth of play that would show him, that would feature him. And then I get somebody to make a DVD for him. This year, I wasn't going to tape. I told him I wasn't going to tape. I'm going to be screaming, yelling on the sideline because I don't want to hear my own voice on the tape, right? You know how parents are, I'm sorry. You know, we felt like we were playing a game. But I ended up taping because I knew that he has a chance to break the high school record, total career save record. And I know, I noticed from the first game on, these managers, you know, while they're hot, you don't understand what that means? That means they're pretty, okay? These managers, the girls who take the statistics. I got no response, I'm sorry. In Chinatown, I get response, but you guys are more conservative, I guess. Wow, they're pretty. They're into like talking to each other. They're not really doing their job. Okay? The first game, he has like 17 saves, and they gave him 11. Now, these are his friends. So it ended up the coach realized that. So a lot of the games I had to go back and I watch and I count the number of saves and I would tell the coach. And the coach trusts me, you know, I'm honest, I don't like inflate figures, right? So he ended up breaking the record for the school. He appreciated me taping for him, but he does not understand the reason why. You know, a lot of times we thought we knew. We understand our Heavenly Father and what He has done for us, the gifts, the grace that He gave for us, He's done for us. Sometimes we feel like we know our parents so well. But you know, you don't. You don't. you really don't know your Heavenly Father and what His heart for you, or your parents, what their hearts for you. So, remember, Happy Father's Day is not just a word, but the very important thing is that we have to grow in the knowledge of our parents, of our Father. On the flip side, fathers. Do not exasperate your children. Colossians 3:21. Do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. I went through my old notes. I discovered I had one thing I wrote down in my old notes, that when Stephanie, my daughter, was probably in her high school, we had one big discussion. And she said in front of me, in front of Aunt Lucy, said, "You know, Dad, it seems like everything I do is not good enough for you." You know, parents, we have a danger of we think we know what's best for our children. We think we know what's best for our children. Colleges, music, athletics, whatever kind of achievement, we think we know. And we are grooming our kids to achieve. Now that I have a 22-year-old and an 18-year-old, I realize that's not what a father should be. Our job, in addition to bringing our children up in the Lord, that's a priority, of course. Our job, in addition to bringing our kids up in the Lord, is not what we think is the best for our children. Our job is to know our children. Our job is to know our children, to help them, to mentor them, to help them discover what is best for themselves. Our job, it's like a coach, is to help our children discover what's best for themselves. And to do that, we need to know our children. What they're good at, what they're not good at. To try to encourage them. If we really love our children, we are not limited to asking how they did on the exam or whether they finished the homework. If we really love our children, we get to know our children and temper our expectations. Sometimes I think parents set the expectation here. Children, they set the expectation here. It's not going to be a happy situation. I'm not saying to set your expectation low. I'm for setting high expectations, higher than you think you can reach. Stretch yourself a little bit. But the two expectations needs to be met. Then it's a happy relationship. The second, bearing fruit in every good work. How do we live a life worthy of the Lord and please our Heavenly Father? Bearing fruit in every good work. God expects us to bear fruit. Plain and simple. God expects you to bear fruit. He has given you a lot of blessings. He has given you a lot of gifts. And we are to use them to the best of our ability to bear fruit for them. To bear fruit, to expand His kingdom, whether it doesn't matter what profession you're in, what your personality is, what you're good at or what you're not good at. But our role is to use the gifts and the blessing to expand His kingdom. Whether you are in the worship team, whether you're good at talking to people, whether you are good at bringing people to the fellowship, or to build up brothers and sisters in Christ, in church, in the faith, or whether you're good at praying for others. It's all bearing fruit because you're expanding His kingdom. And that's what God expects us to do, that He has given up all these, that for us to use, God has expectation on us, has expectation of us. And that's for us to find out. If you know God, then you know what He expects you to do. If you know your Father, then you know what He expects you to do. If you know your children, then you know what you can expect of them. We are to do, to bear fruit for the Father, for the Heavenly Father. The best example is Christ Jesus Himself, right? Jesus says, John 6, I've come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. God has saved us. You know, if you look at verse 12 and 13 of Colossians 1, He has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. He has rescued us from darkness. He has brought us into His kingdom. He has given us redemption. He has forgiven our sins. God has done all that to us. And He certainly expects us and requires of us to bear fruit for Him. One of my favorite parables is the parable of the talents, right? Matthew chapter 25. You know, the master gave one servant 5 talents, and the servant gained 5 more talents. He gave another servant 2 talents, and the servant gained 2 talents. And his master came back and says, "Well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge with many more things." To the one he gave 1 talent, he buried in the ground, didn't do anything. The master says, "Wicked and lazy servant, will be taken away from you." God has given us gifts to serve Him. But if you don't bear fruit, it'll be taken away. God has expectations. Originally, here, He gave you so much. But if you don't bear fruit, He'll take them away. It'll be this way. We have less from Him. We don't want that to happen, right? Bearing fruit, getting to know Him. Today I'm talking about communication and expectation. Learn to know your parents. Learn to know your children. And learn to know our Heavenly Father. Love, honor, obey. Those are good words to remember. And pleasing our Heavenly Father. And pleasing our Father on earth.